Hi there, welcome to this episode of Just the Discs. My name's Brian Sauer, this is my podcast about Blu-rays. So what we have here is a combination of a few different things, a couple different recordings, if you will. The first part was, well, the whole thing actually is sort of inspired in some ways by a tweet that I got from Craig Wagner, and he said, "I don't think folks are giving Paramount enough credit for giving us some great to solid, bigger scale genre movies lately." And he uses these examples: Annihilation, A Quiet Place, Overlord, Bumblebee, Pet Sematary, and now Crawl. Hats off to them. So yeah, so I put together a short episode here dealing with the Paramount Blu-ray and 4K releases of Pet Sematary, the new film from this year, and Crawl, also from this year. So what we're going to hear first is a little chat that I had with my wife about Pet Sematary. We both enjoyed it, and I think it's a really interesting remake. I think it does some cool things, and for me it works. I know for some it maybe didn't, but I was definitely a fan. So my wife and I will talk about that, and then I will talk about Crawl, and I talked to my daughter Raven about Crawl briefly. So I will cut in a short segment of her and I conversing about Crawl, which she enjoyed. So let's go right to me introducing my wife for the Pet Sematary segment. Here we go. I am sitting with my wife, Lisa. Hello.
Hello.
And we are talking about the new Pet Sematary movie.
In the woods today, LA discovered a charming little landmark.
Pet Sematary.
Place to bury our pets and remember them. Might seem scary, but it's not. Perfectly natural. Just like dying is natural.
The whole town's been using this place for generations. Folks make a kind of ritual out of it. It's not some campfire story.
Saw these in the trees up there.
They're warnings. The local tribes carved them before they fled. They fear that place. There's something up there. Something that dates way back. Those woods belong to something else. Something.
That cat was dead.
That brings things back.
Church?
I know what you're thinking of doing. But they don't come back the same.
Daddy.
Who's? What's going on?
Which has just come out on 4K, Blu-ray, and digital, DVD, all that. We watched it in 4K. I had seen it theatrically, and my wife had not seen it. What were your thoughts overall of the movie?
Well, there was a lot of, are those called sound buses?
Yes.
I remember one of our early dates we were watching, was it Cat People? Not Cat People.
No, Leopard Man.
Leopard Man, something with an animal, with yeah. An animal. Huh?
No, ironically, same producer. You're right.
Okay, there you go. And it's funny because Pet Sematary, haha. And that was when the train goes by.
Yeah.
And I spilled a drink on us, I think, right?
I think you spilled it on yourself.
Oh, only on me?
Yeah.
Anyways, so I had a similar response. It wasn't quite as bad as now that I keep my hands away from my eyes, like in The Purge, whatever version of The Purge that I saw in the theater with Hawthorne, that I stabbed myself in the eyes and had to go to the restroom.
How did that happen again, by the way?
Yeah, that is a mystery.
Were you holding a drink and you went?
No, I think my hands were near my face because you know how when you're excited or something scary is going to happen? I don't know. I just stabbed myself in the eye. That was very painful. And even though last night watching Pet Sematary, I did not injure nor spill on myself, I still jumped quite high several times with some sound. So that was good ambiance or whatever you want to call it.
Sound, use of sound, mix, whatever.
Well,
yeah,
no. Sound design, yes. Yeah, but I meant it was a good way to get you in the mood for the movie.
Yeah, definitely. No, I was very happy with the way that they use sound and the, I mean, for those that don't know the basic story, it's like a family moves from the city to a small rural town. The dad is a doctor, and they realize almost immediately when they move in that they've got a house that's on kind of a busy, like, back freeway where big semi trucks go hauling past at all hours of the day. And the first couple trucks that come by are really well placed and do Val Lewton proud in terms of the sound bus action happening. So I dug that. I like that part. I think they handled that well. But anyway, I think, I don't know, I might like this better than the original one. You can't really remember the original, is that?
No, but it definitely, I feel like the way the look of it and just like the mood, I guess, if you want to call it, of how the movie was set up and the colors and the lighting, all that design stuff, I thought was very captivating and worked really nicely. And I don't remember it being like that. Like I said, you know, I can watch a movie, you know, a few weeks ago and then I'll forget everything. So, but yeah, I thought that was good. Yeah, delete all that. Goodbye.
No, it's fine. But I could tell that you didn't remember the movie somewhat because...
No, I didn't remember the sister.
Yeah, the Zelda stuff, which is the stuff that I think scarred me the most from the first movie was how that character was portrayed. And it's pretty effective in this movie too. In fact, scarier...
I would say the look of this person, I can't imagine that they had it any scarier than the other.
It's, I mean, this one is a little amped up in terms of the horror, like the mouth and the teeth and things, and the spine, I feel like, is a little more gnarly.
Skin.
So they've stepped it up a little bit, which I think works for me. But yeah, we both decided it was a pretty scary movie, not for kids. We have occasionally shown Raven some scary movies, but this was definitely one we were not going to show her for multiple reasons. But yeah, there's some good scares in it. I do like the emphasis on the wife character and her backstory, which I feel like there definitely was that in the first movie, but I feel like they gave her a little bit more to do in this one. Again, I know you can't quite remember, but you know what? It's honestly been a while since I've seen the original too. So yeah, I don't know.
But can we talk about John Lithgow?
Yes, let's talk about Lithgow.
So what happened to your dog, Judd?
He came back. Just like Danny B said he would. But he was changed. It was when he went after my mother that my daddy put him down. For the second time. Sometimes dead is better.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He definitely makes me wonder, and again, not remembering the story. Sorry, folks.
Fred Gwynne played that character in the original movie, Herman Munster.
But just thinking about how at first I can't tell, and there was questions like I was asking you, which maybe some people get annoyed with in movies, but the idea is like I couldn't tell at first if he was going to be a good guy or a bad guy, and I thought he was going to be a good guy, but then there was a certain part where I'm like,
we don't have to spoil whether he is or not. I mean, you may have your own guesses based on the source material. But yeah, I do like the way he plays it initially. And I do like the way that he connects to the daughter character, mm-hmm. which I thought was really neat. And mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that maybe there was like, I felt like there was an ulterior motive and I couldn't tell what was like the way that they laid it out and the way that he played it and the way that it was maybe written, I guess, just worked really nicely into making you have to pay attention.
Yeah, where is this going? What is his deal? You know, yeah, I like the whole setup with him. I really think he totally elevates the movie. I think the casting of that role in particular, not could make or break the movie, but like definitely in his case, makes the movie a good deal better in my mind. But I like both the parents they cast. I think the daughter is pretty good. I think my only issue I noticed a little bit this time was, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a point where she has to play things a little differently, and it was a little more
jarring.
A little more over the top than I remembered in the first one. But then again, that first one, they might have done the same kind of thing. And I don't want to spoil anything because they do change things up for some things in this movie versus the first one, if you remember that well. And I do like that. They have a self-consciousness about the movie. There's a specific scene with Lithgow and a bed, and I won't say anything more about it, but the movie is very conscious of the other movie in some respects in that way.
But yeah, I don't know. And then do you like the ending? Without spoiling the ending, the ending is definitely different than it was in the first movie. And what did you think about it?
Well, without spoiling it,
yeah,
I actually really think that the ending's creepy.
Yeah.
And I just love the visual. That's all I'll say. Yeah. I love the visual there.
And I also love the closing song. I won't spoil that either. I'll let you people that haven't seen the movie get to that. But I do like it a lot. It's a cover of a song that I really like. So, yeah, anyway.
I won't sing it then.
Don't sing it.
That could scare you in another way.
But anyway, I think it's a pretty effective horror film. And for a studio horror film, I think it's pretty edgy and dark. And like, I guess for me, like the studio stuff I've been seeing lately, even the Blumhouse stuff, I've been, you know, okay with, but not like that was really effectively done, or that I had more problems than I expected to with other studio horror. And I feel like with this one, I'm like, no, I thought things were handled pretty well.
And the one thing that I liked about it in general as a horror film is that I thought that nothing looked cheesy. You know how sometimes, even with all the high tech ability we have and editing equipment and all of that, and resources and, you know, programs and all of that, I feel like sometimes things just are a little too, I don't know if cheesy is the right word, or it's not really campy, but like I felt like this was legit. Like this seemed real. Yeah. Like I could totally see this. Like I buy this, yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I think they grounded things really well. And I think that's done pretty well by Mary Lambert in the original. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought this was a really nice update of a movie that, you know, a lot of people do remember, a book that people are familiar with. I think Stephen King liked it too. I could be wrong about that. I thought he tweeted out that he liked it or something. But anyway, I think it's a pretty solid horror film for this year. I guess I like Us more as a movie because it's a little bit more original. But I have more problems with Us than I do with this in some ways. Not to get into Us too deep, but especially the ending of Us. I
like the story and I like the originality of things, but yeah, there are some parts that it kind of like that I don't know if I buy as much as the Pet Sematary thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Like I can picture this happening and being like, this is creepy.
Whereas you can picture Pet Sematary happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. You're laughing at me. But Us, it's not, I don't know if I feel like I can buy that as much, even though it's still creepy and it's still a good movie and yeah. I like it a lot. No, don't get me wrong.
I do too. And I'm not saying Us is necessarily better than this. I'm just saying.
Or even in the one movie that I would necessarily compare it to, just that it's something that.
Yeah, no, it just came out this year. That was the right, only reason exactly, I brought it up.
Exactly.
But anyway, well, I didn't get a chance to look at the features yet, so I will do that and record another segment by myself about the features. But you'd recommend this overall, right?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely see this, especially if you, well, I was almost going to say, especially if you haven't seen the other one, but it's either way, because I think it would be neat to compare the differences.
Oh, for sure.
And then if you haven't seen the first one, I think this one, from my bad memory, seems pretty darn good.
So you're almost seeing it as if you had never seen the first one because you can't remember it.
What'd you say? Who am I?
What's
my name? Where am I?
Yes. Okay. All right.
So when you put in that VHS tape. Oh, wait. Wrong show.
What decade are you in? Anyway, so that's it for our little mini review of the movie. Next up, I'll talk about the features.
Okay, so that was my wife and I talking about Pet Sematary. I wanted to touch on the special features on the 4K/Blu-ray releases of Pet Sematary and give a couple alternate recommendations or double bills, if you will. So for the features, and these are only available on the accompanying Blu-ray disc, not on the 4K disc itself, I don't think. But you have Beyond the Deadfall, which is a set of four featurettes that cover various aspects of the production, like the adaptation, production design, where it was shot, locations and stuff, casting, and plots and themes. So you have this Beyond Deadfall broken into four chapters. First chapter is called Resurrection. That's 17 minutes. Chapter 2, Final Resting Place, about 13 minutes. Chapter 3, The Road to Sorrow, about 14 minutes. And Chapter 4, Death Comes Home, about 18 minutes. So it's a nice sort of behind the scenes doc, I guess, really. And there's a lot of good stuff in here, a lot of things that I enjoyed hearing about because I like the movie. There is an alternate ending, which is about 9 minutes. Very interesting. Very interesting. I will not spoil that, of course. Definitely worth a look. If you haven't seen the film, I'm curious what you think of the original ending, which I actually like. But always intrigued by alternate endings. And then there's something called Night Terrors, which is 5 minutes. The Tale of Timmy Baderman, 3 minutes. And deleted and extended scenes, about 17 minutes worth of stuff. Most of it I can see why it was cut, but there's definitely some interesting things here too. So that's sort of what's included with the Blu-ray. The 4K looks wonderful. I was really impressed by that and have been impressed by Paramount's 4K releases that I've come across so far. But in terms of things that you could, let's say, pair Pet Sematary with, I would start with a little movie called I Bury the Living from 1958.
Science has learned that all people possess mental powers which pass the boundaries of the natural. This is the story of a man confronted by such strange forces within himself. At this moment, he is looking at a thing of evil, a thing that takes possession of the mind and compels it to kill.
I destroyed them. Something in me killed them.
Seven pins went in, and the seven people died. Not one, seven. Who put in those pins? You did, all seven. Maps and pins can't kill alone. The power of a human brain has to be behind them.
And this is actually on Amazon Prime. Not that I'm encouraging streaming, but, you know, it's something I do. I hate to admit it. It's definitely something I do. But, yeah, there's also a Scream Factory Blu-ray of I Bury the Living, and it's quite a nice Blu-ray. I'm a big fan of it. But the basic story is this is a movie starring Richard Boone, among others. And he plays a cemetery director who discovers that by arbitrarily moving some pins around on the map of the cemetery he works in, like you have red pins for dead people or black pins for, I forget which, but by moving some of the pins around accidentally, he discovers that he can cause the death of people who own the plots. Like if they, I think red means somebody's bought a plot but isn't buried there yet, and black means they're buried there. I may be misremembering those colors, but he starts moving them around, starts noticing people are dying and maybe they're coming back to life if he changes out, you know, certain pins. And so it becomes very much that, like, you know, I mean, it goes along with the sometimes dead is better kind of thematic. And I think it's, you know, very sort of Twilight Zone vibey in the way that it feels. But I'm a big fan of it. I think it plays really well. I think I actually included it in, I think this was actually a pick of mine for a triple features horror episode that we did for Pure Cinema. I can't remember. I think I had them all set in cemeteries or something like that. There was three films and this was one of them. But yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I think it's definitely worth checking out. Would be an interesting follow to Pet Sematary. The other recommendation I would give is Death Dream from 1974, aka Dead of Night.
Dead of Night. The story of one night in a small town that changed the lives of many and ended the lives of some. As night fell, something evil descended upon the town. Something corrupt, unspeakable. Behind their drawn curtains, they waited as fear walked in the dead of night.
Hello, this is the police department. Please identify yourself. Hello.
Now, this was directed by Bob Clark, who, of course, is most well-known for Christmas Story, but also the man behind Black Christmas, one of the great and early slashers, I guess. One that can certainly be pointed to as the originator of some stuff that we would come to see a ton in 80s horror cinema, less than a decade later. But so that's a really great movie. But this one, very intriguing. Again, about somebody coming back from the dead, more or less. It's a young soldier killed in Vietnam inexplicably shows up to his family home one night. And so it's very much the same idea behind some of what goes on in Pet Sematary. You've got your loved one back, but is he the same as he was? He doesn't seem quite right, you know, and things sort of go from there. There's a great Blue Underground Blu-ray of this one, definitely worth picking up. But yeah, I just thought thematically it tied in a way that I thought it could be neat to double with the new Pet Sematary. So that is Death Dream, aka Dead of Night, from 1974. Now, moving on to Crawl.
The state of Florida has issued a Category 5 hurricane warning. All residents must evacuate immediately. Grab your families, your loved ones, and get out.
Dad!
We won't be able to come for you.
Dad!
Pipes.
Where's their senses?
I can distract them for you.
You got this!
You need to go now.
I'm not leaving you here!
I've seen this movie, I guess only twice now, but both times I enjoyed it. The second time I enjoyed it even more. And I'm a huge fan of all things Animal Attack. It's definitely something that's come up on this show and Pure Cinema. I just love those stories. I recently talked about my love for Animal Attacks on an episode of Scream Addicts, where I got to pick a movie to talk about, and I chose Deadly Eyes, the killer rat movie, which is one of my favorite Animal Attack films. But I always love to see new entries in the genre, especially when they're done well and done knowingly by somebody who I can tell is a fan of these kinds of films. And Alexandre Aja is definitely one of those guys. I mean, he's just a great horror director. You know, he's just one of the more solid horror directors working today. And so I always have some optimism when it comes to sitting down to watch a new film from him. But yeah, I was surprised how much this one impressed me. It's just a really fun ride, and I really enjoy the father-daughter dynamic.
Oh, why did you come here?
Oh. You're welcome.
Listen to me. You need to go. Now.
Not without you.
I don't need your help.
Yeah. You can clearly see that.
Sure.
Yeah. She helped me find you.
You look good.
You look like shit. Is it a beer?
Oh, it's for my internet dating. What's happening with the storm?
It's pretty bad. Everyone's gone. What are you even doing here?
I wanted to board up some vents.
I mean, in this house. I thought you sold the place.
Deal fell through.
What happened?
Got tangled up in the pipes when he tried to drag me. So I escaped.
We're okay on this side of the pipes. It's too big to get back here.
You know, I think both Kaya Scodelario, sorry, I mispronounced her name, and Barry Pepper are great together. Like, they have this really wonderful father-daughter dynamic, and I really got hooked by that, especially the second time. And it certainly helped that I watched it with my daughter. And so, like I said, I'm going to throw to a quick conversation I had with Raven about Crawl. Like, she enjoyed the film. It did take us some convincing to get her to watch it. I think she had an idea that it would be this very scary movie and that it would be too much for her. But I knew for a fact that she loves Animal Attack movies. And I bring that up in the little chat. And it's just, it's a different kind of scary. I think the kind of scary that can be more disturbing and nightmarish to kids is that supernatural kind of horror stuff. But this is different. It's more, it becomes more suspenseful at a point. You just have the danger element, which is the alligators. And once you know sort of what their deal is, you're just kind of along for the ride. And I do love the ride of this movie. It's just really well played. It's intense. It's got some rough injuries and there are some deaths and things. But it's a blast. It really is one of my favorite watches of the year. And so here is Raven and I talking about it. Just a quick warning. She does give some slight spoilers about like locations for the movie and about a certain animal character in the movie. I don't want to... If that kind of thing bothers you, you can just skip it. It's about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. But yeah, I think she definitely got a kick out of the movie, and you can hear that in the way that she talks about it. So here's my chat with Raven about Crawl. So I'm here with Raven.
What up?
She hasn't been on the show for a little while, but
Hey, you're making me sound old.
But we recently watched the movie Crawl together, and I just got the Blu-ray. And I wanted to get her thoughts on it. She saw the movie. She liked the movie. Raven, what did you think of Crawl?
I thought Crawl was a very suspenseful movie, but I feel like it was a very, very short movie. Maybe it's just because they were trapped inside the basement the whole time. So, like, it felt like it was really short. So
what things did you like about it?
I liked the crocodiles, but I'm sad that they all... Well, I'm not even sure that they all died. I think a few of them survived, but yeah. One got...
What else did you like about it?
I also liked the fireworks one, and I'm so glad the dog didn't die. That's not spoiling, Dad.
That is spoiling.
People don't like dogs dying unless you're evil.
Did you like the father-daughter stuff, that it was the father-daughter characters?
Yes, I did, because Daddy was very excited about that one. But I did like that one. I liked that.
What's so bad about me being excited about that?
Not even gonna answer that question.
Would you save me from alligators?
Yes, I would risk my life for you because you're older and you won't be able to get away on your skinny legs, your stubby crayon legs.
I have stubby crayon legs? This is news.
That was a pen.
So, but did you think it was a fun ride? Was it fun to watch and suspenseful in a good way? You said it was?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was very suspenseful. None of it really scared me, but Mom definitely did jump at a lot of things. And I didn't really jump. I kind of called the whole movie. So, yeah.
You did not call the whole movie.
You know what I mean. I called a really big chunk of the movie.
Well, that's okay. You still enjoyed it, though, even though you knew maybe what things were going to happen.
Wow, I'm offended. I obviously knew what was going to happen.
Obviously?
Obviously.
Do you like animal attacks movies?
Yeah, it depends on if the animal dies or what kind of animal it is.
Do you like a little movie called The Pack?
Yes.
The Pack. They're not pets anymore.
How dare you feast on my fears, Dad?
I'm not feasting on any fears. I just think that you've said that's your favorite animal attack movie.
It is. Is there a problem with that? Are you animal attackist?
No, actually, I'm very pro animal attack movies. And I love The Pack, so I think it's a good choice. So you would recommend people watch Crawl?
Maybe. I already spoiled it, so you're probably not going to even want to, but okay.
You didn't spoil it.
Okay.
Are we going to watch more alligator movies?
You know it.
Well, thank you for coming back on to talk about Crawl. I appreciate it.
What a celebrity's for. Hair flick. Mwah.
Yikes. Okay, so that's what that goofball had to say. Just in terms of the Blu-ray, First of all, I was a little bummed there wasn't a 4K release that I'm aware of. So I got the Blu-ray, but I also ended up purchasing the film in 4K on digital, which I do from time to time when there is only a Blu-ray release of a movie, just because I want to have it on disc, but I do want a higher quality if I can. So I have both, but that's how much I like this movie. So in terms of supplements, we have an introduction to an alternate opening of the film, which just sort of explains the opening. But it's basically the alternate opening that's presented. We get like a motion comic that gives us the gist of what would have been the opening or what could have been. I think it's okay. I like the opening as it is, but I always think it's interesting to see these choices, as I did with the ending of Pet Sematary. Then there are deleted and extended scenes, three of them. Good, but again, I've talked about it on the show before. I'm not a big fan of deleted material. Usually you can tell why a director has cut it, and in this case, they were fine scenes, but the movie doesn't need them at all, so... next up is Beneath Crawl, and this is a 30-minute featurette that tells the story of the film, but there's, you know, behind-the-scenes footage, some looks at the gators, if you will, and plenty of comments from Alexandra Aja.
It's also an opportunity to play with sound. The whole movie is very, not loud, but because of the storm, there is... not that many opportunity of being very in the silence. And that scene in the nest is a very silent scene. It's a scene where you hear the, you know, like the smallest movement. So I really wanted that scene to be that suspenseful, extreme scene.
But I enjoyed this featurette. I thought it was good. And I don't know, I just like to see how this kind of stuff is made, you know? And then there is a featurette called Category 5 Gators, the VFX of Crawl. And they go through how the CGI alligators were made and how they were made to look different. Well, I don't want to spoil anything more, but they look different. Let's just say that. And then there's something called Alligator Attacks, which is a short featurette that covers statistics involving alligator attacks, which I think is intriguing and always good to have some real facts behind something as crazy as a movie like this. But anyway, it's a very nice looking Blu-ray, and I'm glad to have it on disc. Like I said, one of my favorite movies I've seen this year in terms of the viewing experience. As for pairing it, I've got some that will seem probably pretty obvious, but I still think they're worth putting together. The first choice I would offer up for pairing Crawl would be Lake Placid from 1999.
It has existed since prehistoric times. It was worshipped by primitive cultures. It can kill a man with one crushing bite.
We heard a man was bit in half.
Any recent bear attacks?
Bears don't attack people underwater.
Probably a fever then.
What was that?
Whatever's out there, being shot with this, he's dead.
Oh no.
Sheriff, how many deputies you got?
You came here to help you find it.
We can't let him kill it.
Experience a few parts mystery.
Do you have any theories why he's here?
Honestly, I don't know.
And a few parts... missing.
It's a human toe.
Is this the man who was killed? He seemed taller.
Oh my god.
Bill Pullman.
Shoot him.
No! How much of a wacko is this guy?
Bridget Fonda.
Bridget!
Mother!
Oliver Platt.
Maybe he swam back up!
Maybe not. Just have this feeling everything's totally safe.
This, of course, is Steve Miner's film, written by David E. Kelly, with a great cast, including Bill Pullman, Bridget Fonda, Oliver Platt, Brendan Gleeson, Betty White, Meredith Salinger, and others. And I've been a big fan of this one since it came out in, I believe, 1999. It's just a blast. It's a giant alligator movie. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek and... yet has the great suspense and scares that you want from this kind of movie. But it does play it with a slightly lighter touch than, say, Crawl, which is a bit more emotional and dramatic. I mean, this definitely has some drama to it, but it's just a lot more of a fun ride. So that's definitely one I would say could go with this. And playing more in the realistic vein, I guess, playing more tonally to what Crawl is doing, I would also recommend Rogue from 2007.
I'm supposed to catch a boat cruise from here.
So one of the rules of my tour is that you have only one chance to complain about the heat and the flies.
I'm a travel writer for a magazine.
How long are you out here anyway?
Oh, just a few days. Alice Springs after this, then home.
Where's that?
Chicago.
Yeah, saltwater crocodile. It's probably the most dangerous member of the crocodilian family. So they can swim underwater at up to 20 miles an hour without making a ripple on the surface. And they can burst out to attack with incredible speed. Don't worry, man, we're perfectly safe on this boat. They won't attack anything bigger than they are.
How big is this boat?
Big enough.
This is a bloody tidal river. Well, that's how high the tide will be when it comes in.
Somebody do something! Everett!
You're not going in the water.
I am getting in the water.
Neil.
I'm going to swim across real quiet.
It's an animal out there and it's hunting us.
Move, Mary Ellen. There's two people behind you. Move!
This one, of course, directed by Greg McLean, who would go on to do Wolf Creek, among other things. And I'm a big fan of this one. It's just really well played, just very intense. And I don't know, like I said, this genre just gets me. And this is one of those movies that totally works on all levels for me. And I think has been a little forgotten. You know, Lake Placid has a wonderful Scream Factory Blu-ray. I mean, and also Lake Placid is available streaming if you were into that, if you wanted to watch it, you know, at any time. Rogue, as far as I can tell, only has an import Blu-ray, which I just got my hands on, and doesn't appear to be streaming anywhere. So I feel like movies like that in this day and age start to disappear a bit, start to be lost to other choices that people can find more easily. So that is unfortunate for a movie as good as it is. I'm saddened by that. But definitely a great pairing with Crawl, I think. It's a, actually, I think this one is a crocodile and not an alligator. But, you know, still a lot of fun, really well played. Just a movie that seems to know what you're thinking and is trying to get ahead of you and does a good job of staying ahead of you, or at least keeping you guessing. And I don't know, I just thought it was really an enjoyable movie of this type. One of my favorites in the past, you know, 20 years. So again, for Crawl, my pairings would be Lake Placid and Rogue. That will do it for this episode of the show. Definitely keep an eye on Paramount and their horror offerings in the future. I know that we're going to get some more good stuff based on what they've been doing. So these are both great releases, Pet Sematary and Crawl. Everybody have a wonderful and Blu-ray-filled week, and I will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.